All right, let's be seated and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Our Lord has been pleased to give us the activity, the reports of it, and the nature of the people who were involved in it that surrounded the coming of Christ. He's garnished this account of the birth with a great many details. And he's been pleased to tell us of the characters and the people who were involved in it. And these two accounts in Matthew 1 and 2 and in Luke 1 and 2 have been cherished and loved by the church all these 2,000 years. And we love them too. And we get great spiritual blessing from them. And I do want to say that these narratives and these details is what happened. The church will be thanking God for all eternity. We get to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see the fullness of all His deity and His place in God's eternal program. This record of His birth is going to be very, very precious to us. Of course, the central figure here is Mary. And we'll deal with Mary 2 weeks from tonight. Next Sunday we'll have the choir, but I'll deal with Mary 2 weeks from tonight. And the world does call her blessed. And we recognize that God highly preferred and highly honored her in using her to be the medium and the instrument whereby through natural birth Jesus Christ would be born and without sin. You've got doctrine. You've got fulfilled prophecies. You've got all these precious things that are near and dear to us as we think of the Lord and worship Him and rejoice in Him as the Lord's people. Therefore, when we come to a time like this, it's very, very appropriate that we look at a man like Joseph. He was the husband of Mary. And the character of the man and how God dealt with the man. It's a beautiful, beautiful representation of how a man's decisions were guided by the Spirit of God. And how a man's conduct in relationship to his marriage, he was very, very much concerned about. And God's answered our questions. You can't have many questions about this birth of Christ that aren't answered in these four chapters, the infancy narratives. And then you have the hymn of Mary, and you have the hymn of Zechariah the Benedictus, and all these hymns. Here you get the details as to who this babe was and what's he going to do. He's going to save Israel. He's going to redeem Israel. And he is the one that gives to us our great salvation. Consequently, to take a look at Joseph tonight should be a great blessing to every one of us. Now we are told here that he was of the genealogy of David. He comes along this great succession of the Messiah. He was of the bloodline. And then we're told that he was a very good man. He was a just man, which meant that he feared God, which meant that he loved the Scriptures. And the things that he was told here, he could understand because he believed in the prophecies and the fulfillment of the prophecies. And Gabriel, when he talked to him, actually quoted to him Isaiah 7:14 as a part of the message he gave him. All of that was confirmed. So let's look at this man tonight, and let's get out of his life and his activity something that will bless us as we enjoy the Christmas season. I think the first thing that we ought to mention about him is that he occupied a very special place in the messages that came from heaven. The angel Gabriel was the one who unquestionably spoke to him because he's the one that was dealing with Mary here. But I want you to look first at chapter 1 of the Gospel according to Matthew. And in that chapter 1, I want you to notice verse 24. Then Joseph, being a just man. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. There you are. This angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Now turn back to verse 20. And when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now here is the angel of God, the messenger of God, taking care of this man Joseph so that he would take care of Mary, which he did. And that he would protect and take care of the son. So here's all heaven dealing with this one man. And heaven has his hands on him. Now will you turn over, please, to verse 13 of chapter 2. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, well, go down to Egypt. Herod's going to kill your son. And get down to Egypt as fast as you can. And then look down to verse 19 of this same passage. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. The angel of the Lord dealt with him. The angel of the Lord gave him direction. The angel of the Lord told him when he should go to Egypt. The angel of the Lord told him when he should leave Egypt. And so here is God Almighty using this man and dealing with this man in a special way so that the baby and Mary could be protected and cared for. And you can't read these sections as here without recognizing this angel of the Lord. Now in relationship to Joseph, we're told that he was a just man, which meant, of course, that he kept the Ten Commandments. He was of the seed of David, which indicated, of course, that he was a man that was seeking to please the Lord, and he was indeed just a good man, an honorable man. And in the providence of God, in the course of the Lord, he was brought to Mary. And he discovered here that before they were married and before they came together in any intimate way, that she was with child. And the natural conclusion from that is that Mary had in some way been unfaithful. In some way she had been engaged in sin. In some way she had violated the law of the Ten Commandments and was guilty of a very heinous sin. And we're told here that he thought on these things, and he didn't want to make a scandal out of it, so he thought, I can just maybe put her away privately and I won't be involved. Well, here was a man that was a decent man. He was a very decent man. And he knew that if this woman that he had become engaged to while he was betrothed, engaged to, had gone out and committed sin, that he had no business living with her. That he had a just cause for laying her aside and not going ahead with her. And while he thought on these things, he figured out, how can I do it? What shall I do? Here she is. She's betrayed me. She's not been a faithful girl for me to come into marriage with her. And I've got a problem on my hand. And he did have a problem on his hand. There's no doubt about it. That he looked at life and knew the human race the way it is. And I want to tell you, beloved, he wanted a girl that was clean and pure. He wanted a girl that had kept her virginity. He wanted a girl that would be his wife, faithful. He was a just man. And now he realized that, here, I've got this girl on my hand and she's gotten herself mixed up. Isn't it a shame today that young people don't care about themselves, young men don't care about themselves? God has ordained that the human race shall be perpetrated and continued from generation to generation by this act of procreation which He's arranged for us. One man and one woman, each being faithful to each other and each coming together clean and pure and entering into the great joy that the Lord has provided in bringing children into this world for the benefit of the church and for the good of society. So this man was troubled. He had a problem on his hand. Here's this good girl. I thought she was all right, and I love her very much, but look what I found out. We haven't been married yet, and then this angel appeared. This Gabriel showed up. Joseph, I want to tell you what it is. It's not like you think it is. It's not sin like you are afraid of. It's not something you've got to run away from. It's not something that you've got to try to cover up. keep it among yourself. I don't want to make a public. It's not that at all, Joseph. Joseph, that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. I wonder how many times a man fainted and had to be picked up by Gabriel when he heard the story that which was conceived in her had come from heaven. Oh, what a man. Oh, what a story to be told by the angel that the conception which Mary had come from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Now this man knew what the Holy Ghost was. David said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And you've got these references in the Old Testament to the Spirit of God. And this man, Joseph, knew what the Holy Ghost was. So here's an angel, Gabriel. Here's the Holy Ghost, and imagine, so look what I'm into now. Look what the Lord's got me into now. I got a problem. I thought it was a bad problem. But he said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." My, oh my, poor Joseph. What in the world did he do when he heard that? He accepted it. He accepted it. He believed it. "Joseph, don't you be afraid to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." She was found in child with the Holy Ghost. Nobody else has ever had that experience. No other woman has ever had an experience like this. No other woman ever will have. It's an intervention by God in the order of His creation. We see it at Christmas time. And it's a beautiful and glorious realization. And while he thought on these things, the angel Lord appeared unto him, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, oh Joseph, you're a child of David. Don't you be afraid. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." No wonder, as I told you this morning, that these scholars say that Luke didn't write this and Matthew didn't write this. That which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. This man had an awful lot to think about. He had an awful lot to look at to have a change like this come in his life. And then notice the message that the angel gave. "She shall bring forth a son." Not only that, Joseph, but you're going to name him. You'll call his name Jesus. "For he shall save his people from their sins." The whole message of salvation was given to that man as he was perplexed over taking this wife of his, or this girl he was going to marry, and putting her away so she wouldn't be disgraced, want to get out from the scandal. Now look at verse 22. Look at this. Now all this was done. All this came to pass that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Joseph, I'm going to take you back to Isaiah 7:14, Joseph. You know the Holy Spirit gave that. Behold, the virgin shall be with child." And Joseph, this girl is the virgin that's spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. "And shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." Isn't it interesting that in our day, after 2,000 years, that passage in Isaiah 7:14, 750 years before Christ ever born, this virgin was going to conceive, and his son would be called Emmanuel? That God is telling Joseph, "Joseph, it's going to be fulfilled. And you're an agent and you're a party to this fulfillment. And now we want you to do what God would have you do to protect her. And you recognize that the Holy Spirit has done this. And you listen to the Holy Spirit." What do we read here? "The
Behold, a woman shall be with child. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Going to shield her, going to protect her. They would appear together, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. He remained a virgin, she remained a virgin, until after he brought forth. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph got the name from heaven. Joseph gave the name at the time when it needed to be announced, and he called his name Jesus. Beloved, I wish we'd have a lot of men that would be men of God. I wish we'd have men who'd be the head of their homes. I wish we'd have men that would act in their decisions according to what they learned from the Bible. I wish we had fathers that would listen to what the Lord has to say about the responsibility of a father. Here was Joseph, and the angel told him all the details, gave him the prophecy, and said, "Now you call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins." Can you understand how, as Joseph heard these things from the angel, this was told him, and he responded, this was told him, and the response, this was told him. And then finally, when Joseph saw the Old Testament being fulfilled, and Joseph saw the Savior coming, the Savior of his people. Joseph saw all these things. He just fell over and says, "Lord, if that's the way it is, I'll do what you say." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just get people everywhere and say, "I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to give. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to get young men. I'm going to build the church. I'm going to take care of my country. I'm going to do these things because God has told me to do it." My, what a practical thing comes out of Joseph in dealing with Mary, but he was dealing with God first. When I read the message of the angel about his name, going to save his people, then you go back to what the angel told to Mary. Turn over to that first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. There you have the account of the angel coming to Mary. Verse 31, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Here's the angel Gabriel talking to Mary. Verse 28, "Hail thou that art highly favored of God." But Mary got a message from heaven that he would be the Son of the Highest, that he would sit up on the throne of his father David, and that tied in with all that Mary knew about David. Beloved, I think I should tell you this. God has a way of taking what we know, bringing it to a place of influence and prominence in our lives, and we please God. We please God when we understand what He's doing and we do what He says we must do in His service. Be it unto me according to thy word. That's what God's telling each one of us. And that's why we feel the way we do. But this passage here in Luke, the infancy narrative, is such a beautiful, beautiful account as he spoke to Mary. We also have this beautiful story here about the shepherds. And I've often wondered, and I do wonder, that night when Jesus was born, and there was the heavens opened. There was a multitude, the heavenly host. But I think I get a little better understanding of those things. I get a little understanding. I stand here in this pulpit right now, and you people are aware of the fact that if I had the right kind of instrument here, I could get 25 or 30 television pictures right here in your presence. You're all aware of the fact that we hear radio every day, and there's no wires, no connections, no aerials. You just turn around here and you get New York, you get Philadelphia, you get any place in the world, and it's our radio, instantaneous.
And I'm on the television each day, you know, and all they do is to take what I say and put it out there on a disc and hurl it up into the heavens to get on some kind of a disc up there, some kind of a instrument up there that takes it instantaneously, and then you can get it instantaneously from Alaska to Panama, everywhere else. And just think of what's going on in the unseen world right now, and you and I can't tune into it. And if that's going on in the unseen world right now, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, unless thou dash thy foot against the stone. The children have guardian angels, and there's times when some were driving and we almost have an accident, and it seems as though something takes hold of the wheel and keeps us, and we say, that's our guardian angel took care of me. You and I can't begin to understand what's in this unseen world, this great ether that we talk about. I don't understand it, but it's there. And I don't have any trouble in believing that God hears my prayer right here when I pray. I don't have to put it on radio. I don't have to put it on TV. I don't have to put it on anything. God is everywhere. And He's a Spirit, and He hears and understands, and we cry out to Him. Yes, those angels, the curtain was drawn back this morning as I preached to you about Jesus on the Mount of Olives. And I've stood on that mount at different times and thought, here's where the Jesus went up, just gently, quietly went up. And then a cloud received him out of his sight. How far was it from that cloud to the right hand of God in the highest heavens? And how'd you get there? I have no trouble believing that he got there. But you and I are in the glass darkly. You and I are limited in this period in which God is dealing with us by this book. Gabriel doesn't talk to me at night, and glad he doesn't. The angel of the Lord doesn't come to you tonight. The place where you get the angel of the Lord is out of this book. God has ceased giving the revelations like he did in those old days when he spoke to Elijah and he spoke to Moses and took Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments and wrote on it. God doesn't speak to us that way. God speaks to us today through this book. God speaks to us through his word. And God has written that word in such a way that it meets every need of our hearts. It meets every need of our responsibilities. There's no area of our life or our activities where this Bible doesn't provide the guidance and the strength that you and I need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow or other, I kind of like this man, Joseph. I kind of love this man, Joseph. Wonderful, beautiful character he was. Then the next thing I want to point out to you, he was always with Mary. He never left her. Every time, it's up here, he was there. Every time you have the reference, he was with Mary. It came time to go from Nazareth down to Bethlehem because he was of the house of David. There Joseph was. Came time to go to Egypt. Here Joseph taking Mary along, guiding her. When he was 12 years of age, and they went ahead, then they came back. Joseph, every time Joseph was always with Mary, always being with her, accompanying her and talking to her. You imagine how he must have told her over and over again, I was told his name would be Jesus by the angel. And we're told here in a very beautiful text that Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered on them. My Mary. And you had Joseph always with you. You could talk to him about it. You discuss these things together. My, they must have been very, very close together. Joseph and Mary. Now I come to the other thing about this account that I really love. You really love. When the shepherds went over to Bethlehem, they found Mary and Joseph. And the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. When they saw the babe, they rejoiced. But here was Mary, and here was Joseph, and the shepherds. And then we read, what did the shepherds do? They went and told this thing to everybody, everywhere. And everybody was amazed at such a saying. The shepherds became evangelists. The shepherds became witnesses. And that's where you and I come in tonight. We spoke about getting these tracts. Here's a beautiful tract that Bill's got us. My, what a good job this tract committee is doing for us all. And we ought to get them out and put them out and let the Lord's people. But we've got to go everywhere telling everybody of this wonderful, glorious development when God decided to send Jesus Christ down to this earth. The shepherds couldn't keep their mouths closed. And when they got to see Mary and Joseph and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, they were thrilled and they believed that the angels knew what they were singing about. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. They believed that the angels had given them a message from God. And they went everywhere reporting these things which had taken place. Can't we go everywhere this week and next week? Every opportunity we have, can't we go everywhere letting people know that to us Christmas is not tinsel. Christmas is a babe in a manger. Born of a virgin. The second person of the eternal Trinity. But that takes me now to the last point I want to develop out of this. Oh, it's a beautiful point. Joseph had been brought so close to God, the Son of God. He'd been brought so close to what God was doing on this old earth, where darkness and death and misery reigned. Joseph was able to look at that little babe and see the fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies and look yonder into eternity where God Almighty had created us and made us in His image. And Joseph saw in that babe his own Redeemer, his own Savior, and the one whom God had sent to give him the life which we love and covet, the life with God. My, it's a beautiful account here. Yes, you can't come to Christmas without getting the theology of the deity in this person, Jesus Christ. You can't separate history. You can't separate these events from the theology of it, from the wonder of it, from the glory of it. That God sent this Son of His to bring you and me to heaven. And how grateful we are.